Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 227 of the LSR Podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me, I have my friend and yours, Adam Candy. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Adam Candy, 2 E's, no Y. If you hate yourself, you can follow me at Matt Brown M2. We'll talk about a new state going live here in a couple of days. One of those stories we talked about in the collegiate world a little bit earlier on in one of the podcasts may have an ending coming towards it. Are we in consolidation? Are we into just deciding to maybe move on from some of the spend here in the United States? We'll talk about that a little bit. But Adam, let's kick things off in Alabama.
So the movement in Alabama right now appears to be away from sports betting in a comprehensive gaming bill where it was moving along pretty well at the beginning of the session with all three pieces included, three pieces being a lottery. Alabama is one of the few states that didn't have one, sports betting, and casino gaming. Now, that passed quickly through the Senate, got to the House, and has met opposition, and it appears that whatever version of this bill passes the House, assuming it does, is going to end up in a conference committee because you're going to see a different version of the bill come out of the House. The intelligence out there suggests that the lottery is going to be the only piece of it that is going to survive this initial cut, that sports betting and casino gaming will go away. And for a state like Alabama that has a naturally conservative bent toward gambling and that has had no form of real gambling, it's not surprising to see some lawmakers want to take an incremental approach as opposed to going for the whole thing at one time. Frankly, we've seen very few states try to do everything at once. We saw Michigan do it fairly successfully, but again, that was after a failed attempt that passed the legislature and was vetoed by the outgoing governor. And we've seen Pennsylvania do something somewhat similar, even though there were casinos in place in Pennsylvania prior to that. So it's not dead for sports betting in Alabama at this point, but from everything that our Pat Evans, who has been covering this from top to bottom, has been hearing, it appears that sports betting in Alabama is a long shot for this year after it appeared to be maybe a 50-50 shot coming out of the Senate.
Brutal for our friends down there in the South. You know, Adam, this was one of those things where we were looking at a map and we were saying, like, oh, okay, well, Alabama, whenever you look at the fact that Mississippi doesn't have statewide mobile yet, there's nothing going on in Georgia as well. We're like, oh, okay, well, Alabama, that's an interesting little spot for them. But unfortunately, as you mentioned, looks like maybe we are going to have to wait on them at least for another session.
And not surprising, really, just because of the fact that sports betting didn't exist at all, right? There was nothing in person, like Mississippi, as you mentioned, where they're trying to expand to mobile. And if you look at Mississippi as an example, it's taken yearly tries to even get to the point of a maybe on mobile in Mississippi after starting frankly, as one of the first states to launch any form of sports betting through a loophole in a previous law that hadn't passed. So I don't think it's dead in Alabama by any stretch for the long haul. However, I do think it's a matter of the lottery getting passed this year. It could be added back in a later version of the bill. But again, considering the reticence that's been in the House, I would be surprised if 2024 is the year that we see it pass.
So we have seen some of these partnerships come and go as we are looking at, you know, we're not quite in version two of U.S. sports betting quite yet. Obviously, we still need Texas. We still need to figure out what's going to happen in California. Will there be any sort of expansion in Florida? Will it be an opposite? So we're still in V1, a more mature V1 here. But as we enter V2, Adam, you know, listen, the questions we're going to continue to ask is, will there be consolidation? Will there be people who just decide this isn't for them? Are there going to be someone emerge because they have money and they're going to go crazy with all of that? Well, this story here seems like one of the gaming giants globally might be deciding that the U.S. just isn't quite for them.
Basically, what we've seen, Matt, in the first almost 6 years of this is that success in other markets does not dictate success in the U.S. sports betting market. And a number of international operators who've come over and tried to make a go of it have not been either willing to spend at the levels that FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, Caesars have been, or when they have spent, it just has not resulted in any sort of real acquisition. They've come over here with products that were more geared to the European market. They've come over here and just not been willing to play in the same way that has been required to succeed so far. Does that mean that they couldn't succeed in the long run? No, but the cash burn at this point for a lot of these either larger European operators who have a smaller presence in the U.S. or other upstarts just really has not been something that is viable. So now we see that 888, which of course has had some leadership changes and challenges going on with that company, ending that SI Sportsbook deal. And I think it's important for us to talk about, Matt, Sports Illustrated in particular, and then the greater media brand landscape, because what we've seen through almost 6 years of the legal market in the U.S. is that a media brand means nothing, absolutely nothing, without product and execution and marketing behind it. Because granted, the Sports Illustrated brand, for guys like you and me who grew up with Sports Illustrated being a paragon of journalism, being something that you waited for in the mail every week to get that paper magazine, well, that brand is basically nothing now. It has been stripped and it is basically on the side of the road on life support. So now you evaluate, okay, Barstool did not work out. Frankly, it might be the closest to success that we saw. The Score did not work out in the U.S. market in any way. And it remains to be seen with ESPN, but the early returns that we've witnessed from the Penn ESPN deal are middling. So we don't really know where that's going to take off in the end. So I think the thought that we had that these big media partnerships and the reach and the access they provide would be something that was important, something that would be leading to success, is not necessarily the case without something more behind it.
Yeah, it's interesting because 888, if you guys aren't in tune with what's going on in Europe, they have William Hill over in Europe. William Hill, you walk down the street, there's William Hills all over the place. William Hill, a wildly successful brand over in Europe. 888 was always very curious as to what they were going to do here in the United States. Obviously, a company that knows what they're doing when it comes to gambling. Obviously, a company that has been in the space as long as anybody and has as much experience as anybody. But they came over here, Adam, and it's like, you know, so I'll read from this press release that I got from them that just says they're also entering a strategic review of their American operations. And it says the strategic review of our U.S. B2C operations will continue at pace. And I look forward to updating shareholders on our plans for the wider group in late March. And that's per their CEO in this release. It continues on with, there can be no assurance regarding the results or outcome of the review. So it's pretty interesting that this is almost laying the groundwork, it seems like to me, Adam, of them saying, okay, we tried this U.S. thing. We kind of stuck our toe in because they didn't really go full bore, right? Like they just kind of stuck their toe in. It didn't get the results they were hoping for. And it seems like now they're like, look, we do well in Europe. what are we doing over here trying to fight against these guys that, again, you and I say, it's not like DraftKings and FanDuel have this thing on an absolute chokehold, but in the near future, and I would even say into the near to medium future, really people's aspirations is only to be number three, right? I mean, like, I don't think you can really look at this and say like, hey, we want to be number one, number two. Maybe you say that from a decade down the road, whatever, like our 10-year goal is to be number one, but you're really just trying to fight to be number three right now. And maybe 888 just looks at it and says, hey, the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
They're not alone in that. There are a lot of smaller operators, and I say smaller not in any disrespect to 888, but smaller in terms of U.S. presence, who have looked at this and say, yeah, the Yeehaw Cowboys and their same game parlays are not the way that we're going to be able to succeed, right? Like, we're just not able to keep up with what DraftKings and FanDuel had done tech-wise in DFS to prepare for this, and then the heft of MGM, Caesars, and so on, 365, you could even throw in there, who have endless resources to be able to push into this thing. Now, that doesn't mean that MGM and Caesars are pushing endless resources into this thing at the level of DraftKings and FanDuel, and that's part of why those latter two are the two in the lead. I agree with you that the duopoly doesn't necessarily mean that it's a duopoly forever, because who's to say that the spending rate that has established those two as the leaders will keep up for them, and that others won't try to spend at a more prodigious rate to chase them. But the question really, when it comes to what we're talking about right now, is if you're an 888 level operator in the US, if you're less than 1% share, how long do you really want to hold on here? Like, we've seen some operators say, well, we want to see what happens with iGaming. Newsflash, that's not happening anytime soon, right? If you think it's hard to pass sports betting, good luck passing iGaming in the time frame that's going to allow you to sort of limp along until you can bring an iGaming product into the U.S. market. And by the way, it's not as though FanDuel, DraftKings et al. Are sitting around on their butts waiting for iGaming legislation to pass. They're pushing their product hard in the markets where it's already legal, and they're refining their product to have it ready for future state launches as well.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I mean, it's one of those deals where as you kind of read this along, and Authentic Brands, by the way, is the company that owns Sports Illustrated. So it's talking about the actual press release is the breaking of the relationship with Authentic Brands and stuff. And it's how about this one, Adam? The partnership had granted exclusive use of the Sports Illustrated brand for online betting and gaming. As part of the termination agreement, 888 has agreed to pay a fee of $25 million that will be paid in cash from available resources. Additionally, 888 will pay an extra $25 million between 2027 and 2029 to break the agreement. So it's worth $50 million to them to break this agreement. If you're wondering like how little they have reaped any rewards from this partnership over in the United States, it's worth $25 up front and $25 down the line to go ahead and say, hey, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, amazing how Authentic Brands, when they decide, you know what, we're just going to let go of all of our reporters and find a way to monetize a website, how desperate 888 might be to be like, yeah, you know what, we need a way from you sooner than later.
Yeah, it's just interesting stuff there in that one. Of course, anything that comes down further, like we said, he said he hopes to have an update for the shareholders by late March. So, I mean, obviously, we're only a few weeks away from that. So there will be more to that story for sure. Adam, we talked a while about charges against Iowa State athletes, and we do get some news coming out of that story.
So the charges against Iowa State student athletes, four of them, are dismissed. And what's important to note about this story is the reason why the charges are dismissed, because our reporting, along with that of a number of local outlets, has shown that what went on was illegal search. The way this was being done essentially by one rogue agent doing things that he was not allowed to do and bringing some others into his world as well to help him do that unwittingly. Now, does that mean the charges are gone? Not necessarily, because we saw that a couple of the government bodies in Iowa put out a statement expressing that they were pretty disappointed to see that the charges were dropped. What it means in the long term is that it could be refiled based on legally obtained evidence, if they have enough legally obtained evidence to be able to bring new charges. Will they want to go through that? We'll find out in the long term. But remember, there were a number of student athletes at Iowa and Iowa State who got caught up in all of this. So what we see in terms of these four athletes whose charges were dismissed, we'll have to see what happens in terms of the rest of the student athletes who had penalties levied against them or otherwise were disciplined.
And while we are not going to get Alabama joining the fold here, it seems like anytime soon, Adam, we are here only days away from getting a new player in the market.
Do you have a computer? Do you have a smartphone? Do you have any apps on that smartphone related to sports? Do you ever go on Twitter? Then you know that North Carolina is launching sports betting next Monday in the online form. March 11th start for North Carolina online sports betting. We have all the coverage of that at Legal Sports Report. This started years ago in North Carolina with two tribal casinos where there was in-person wagering available via Caesars. But it wasn't until this past year in 2023 that legislation was passed to make it available widely online. And now you see that there are going to be 8 sports books at the starting line for online North Carolina sports betting. What's interesting about the market? It's another one of these where we have a clean start right from the beginning for a number of sports books who are new, like a Fanatics and a 365. And then you also are going to see the first product of Underdog when it comes to sports betting. Now, we've seen that they've had a pick'em product that some say, including a number of regulators, looks a little too close to prop betting for their liking. But it also means that they have had the opportunity to at least find some customers in the North Carolina market over time. Now, they did shut down their pick'em products recently in the process of applying for a license in North Carolina. That does not, of course, mean that those customers have vanished and gone away. Like, there are still customers that they can come and try to activate in North Carolina. So that might be the most interesting part for this launch, is to see Underdog, this company that has had a lot of hype around it for the last couple of years. This is the first time that they're letting anyone see their actual sports betting products in the wild.
It is going to, as you mentioned, it is going to be a thing. This has been talked about for quite a while now. Lots of hype built up around this one. Pre-launches and all of the things that you can do possibly to get ready for North Carolina finally coming to us here in less than a week. As Adam mentioned, all of that and the other stuff, if you want to go in and get a little deeper look on all this, LegalSportsReport.com. Everything we do, absolutely free. So if you haven't subscribed already, please go in and do that. We do appreciate that too. For Adam, I am Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.